Would also like to introduce the other neighborhood association presidents that are here, and they're going to help you with this presentation and then help with the question afterwards. We have Mr. Harvey Roberts. He's Central Meadow Brook. And let me see, how many people here are here from Eastern Hills? Raise your hand. Okay, Central Meadow Brook. Wonderful. We have Mr. Don Gorin with West Meadow Brook. How many West Meadow Brook folks? We have a pretty equal number of people. And we have Mr. Jerry Webb with Jimmy Wood, Homeowners Association. That's the townhouses down in Brentwood Square. And then we have Ms. Rita Vincent with Brentwood Oak Hills. And we have Brentwood people. And how about Chimneywood folks? Wonderful. Thank you once again for everybody coming. I will try to keep this microphone at my, close to my mouth. But if you can't hear me, please holler away. We'll go through this as quickly as we can and try not to bore you too much. This is a list of the people who served on the mineral leasing task force. It's not everyone, thank you, Mark. It's not everyone who served. We also had some volunteers that for legal advice. They are not up there because they did not, in fact, represent the mineral leasing task force, nor did they represent any neighborhood or individual. But they were lived in our neighborhoods, and we were lucky to have them. The task force consisted of a great deal of experience in the oil and gas industry, and then our legal advice also had a great deal of experience in the oil and gas industry, and then also mortgages and title work. A little bit of history about how we got here today. Each one of our individual neighborhood associations had a meeting, and we asked our residents what they wanted us to do about gas and how we should move forward, and should we organize, should we not organize, or just let the individuals deal with it on their own. In my neighborhood, I can tell you that 99.99% of everyone who attended one of the largest neighborhood association meetings that I've ever seen in Eastern Hills wanted the neighborhood association to move forward and study leases and bring a lease forward that we felt was best for the neighborhood. And that's what gets us here today. We've had organizational meetings since September, the 1st of September. I didn't keep track of the dates, but we had meetings on a regular schedule of once every 2 weeks. And these were not always short meetings. What we did during these meetings is we reviewed other leases that were coming forward out of other neighborhoods, and not only in Fort Worth, but other parts of the state. And we even discussed some mineral leases that came from other states to get where we are today. And then 3 weeks ago, we did a combined meeting and a short presentation that you're seeing here tonight. With a combined meeting of all of our boards and directors. During that meeting, we asked our boards, like we asked our residents, where to go from here. Do you want us, meaning the neighborhood association presidents, to actively negotiate with the producers and drillers on a mineral lease once we have completed the document? And 3 weeks ago, our boards of directors gave us the authority to move forward after this meeting to negotiate with the producers. First of all, what are we trying to negotiate? We had some difficulty initially trying to decide what we were. I may need that one to get some. Perhaps this one would be better. We had some difficulty defining what we were going to negotiate for, and what we ended up deciding is that we would just take our defined neighborhood boundaries of the neighborhoods that you saw up there, basically inside the loop of 820 and south of I-30, north of East Lancaster, and we would negotiate for that geographic area. And what that consists of, according to the city of Fort Worth, is 5,440 residential parcels. It includes 390 commercial parcels, and I'm very proud to say that we have many of the commercial property owners also working with us and going to do whatever it is that we negotiate. That includes, with Inside Loop, is 3,252 acres, which works out mathematically, of course, to 5.09 square miles. And it just turns out that usually a drilling unit is 640 acres, which is a square mile. And that's generally what they're trying to pool, plus or minus 10%. So we have five drilling units in the area that we're trying to negotiate out. A little bit of history about the Barnett Shale. I don't want to bore you too much, but I did want to give you a little bit of a timeline how we got here today and why we're trying to negotiate as relatively small property owners in East Fort Worth. And the Barnett Shale has been there for 300 to 320 million years. And when we first started studying and suggesting a community lease for East Fort Worth, that was what we told folks. It's been there for 300 million years. Don't get in a hurry. It's going to stay there a while longer. Basically, 1980 was discovered as a potential economic source. Then in 1995, significant research was made into how to do horizontal testing and horizontal drilling. And in 2002, they actually started doing drilling. That's how new this technology is. We are not talking about something that has been done for years and years and years and years. This is relatively new. And if you pay attention to the news almost on a weekly basis, you know that the technology is also changing, even as we meet here tonight. If you read this on Telegram, and you'll see a slide of that, it's changing every single day. Currently, I put in this slide over 6,000 wells in Tarrant County. In the Barnett, which goes, how many counties? I don't remember. 12 counties? Yeah, 12 counties here. And it's growing exponentially. I would imagine by this time next year, there'd be 12,000 wells. They're drilling as fast as they can possibly grow. The people that you have to deal with, and this is one of the very reasons that I became involved and was glad that the other neighborhood presidents became involved, is because the people that you normally have to deal with are landmen. Been that way as long as the oil field and gas fields existed. The landmen are not operators. They don't drill the well and never will. They get paid if leases are signed. They're not accustomed to urban leases, although I will admit they're probably getting very accustomed to them as we speak. I think they have the right to drill, as opposed to asking for permission and getting your okay for that. They're known to use very high pressure tactics, such as hurry, you'll be left out. They also tell you that any issue that will cause confusion of the individual. They promise more than they can deliver. Sounds like a car seller. Promise terms not in the lease is one of the biggies that we found. They said, well, trust me, we've always done it this way. It doesn't need to be in the lease. And they threaten legal action if you don't. That's one of probably the most difficult things to swallow. The leasing contacts that we intend to deal with, these are just a few of them. And as the last bullet item says, there are more every single day. Who floats to the top and ends up drilling in East Fort Worth is anybody's guess, and I can speak for the entire task force, nobody cares. If we have the lease that we want, if we get the protections we want, I don't really care who does it. We're going to put in a little bit of technical stuff. I'm not going to bore you. We're not going through a lot of stuff that doesn't really matter. A drill site, you need to know, is going to be 2 to 4 acres, could be 5 to 6, it could be any size they want, really. And it will be a very large white caliche pad for 20 or 30 years. A lateral line is just simply when they drill down to the Barnett Shale, which is about a mile and a half down. The drill pipe turns over a very large radius and goes out in a lateral line to 5,000 feet. 5,000 feet when this was when this slide was produced. Now they can go half again that much and are planning to even today. Each well site has 8 to 12 wells with single laterals. But now, if you read the Star Telegram, they are going back to existing well sites and they're drilling another lateral in between the two that are there, so that because they have now discovered they can do that, and they can fracture the well site up a little bit tighter than before, and the well produces more. So they're going back to well sites that have been completed and producing, and they're drilling in between the laterals that they drilled already. According to the newspaper, not according to me, normally those laterals are about 1,000 feet apart, and they are now going in and putting a lateral in between them and making them 500 feet apart. This is a typical, what a typical well looks like. I'm not sure anybody cares about how it's drilled, how it's cased, how it's cemented into place. The drillers like to talk about how safe the industry is because they cement it in and they do this and they do that and whatever. Anyway, this basically what they do. They drill straight down for a ways, and before they get to the Barnett Shale, which is basically at 7,000 feet, they turn and go lateral or go horizontal, and that's called the lateral line. And this is what it looks like from the top. That's a lateral line, and that's showing the borehole, and then once they go horizontal where they drill out to in the end of the line. If you look at the Railroad Commission website, it will show you this exact information about where the direction of each individual lateral for a given well site. This is a flow schematic about what happens after it's drilled. Again, it's a technical information, but it gives you an idea of what's going to be on that site for the next 20 or 30 years, and that's water tanks, and they have a little bit more than water in them, by the way. They can also have flammable and explosive stuff on top of the liquid in those tanks. Anyway, basically, it goes through this process until it gets to the retailer, and you get natural gas at your home. This is a typical completed well site. It shows the water tanks, it shows the natural gas compressors, fuel tanks for the compressors, and the side of the wellhead, and meters and so forth to be able to meter the gas and sell it. This describes compressors. Some people think that compressors are only used to compress the gas and put it into a high pressure gas line. That is one of the basic uses, and the compressors, once installed, will run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you'll be happy to know that our lease at least tries to cover that. Compressors are also used to compress gas and put it back down in the well to lift more of the water out of the well or what has become salt water down in the well. So you have to lift the water back out of the well. They use it for that as well. There are some other relevant items. A couple of pictures just to give you an idea of some more drill sites completed well sites. The drilling time is 20 to 30 days per well. Actually, it's per lateral. And in many cases, they will keep the drilling rig on site and just take a bulldozer and literally drag it over and drill another lateral. Much like what you saw on the slide. They do side by side until they get their 6 to 8 laterals on one well site. The fracture stimulation time is 4 to 10 days per lateral. And some of the loudest noise is when they're fracturing. The flowback time of the fracture fluids that they put in there, the sand, the fresh water that they put in there with chemicals, that has to come back out of the well once the well is completed. And the flowback time is approximately 21 days. The production out of that well is 20 years, they're saying, perhaps 30. It's actually changing. One well will be much more successful than the next. Fracking and flowbacks of fluids. I've seen some written questions tonight. Over 1,000 barrels or 3 to 5 million gallons of fresh water are pumped during stimulation or the fracturing process. They also add chemicals. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But they add chemicals and they also add sand to go into the fractures in the Barnett Shale and keep them open so that the natural gas can flow. The initial water is nearly fresh, or can be nearly fresh. It actually can be well water, it can be city water, treated city water that the city sells. And then after recovery, it becomes salt, extremely saline, much more saline than even ocean water. The flowback time, as I said, approximately 21 days. And during the flowback time, this was another one of our considerations. During the flowback time, you will have a water truck every 15 to 30 minutes around the clock for the entire 21 days hauling this salt water away from the well into a salt water injection well or into the, to process it to clean the water and then put it back into the watershed. Some of the things that we have been discussing and considering, obviously the bonus, everybody's interested in that upfront money and as we'll read. The royalty and how and when that's paid. The drill site location was extremely important to a great many people. Surface usage is also important. Transportation costs, meaning the cost to get gas from the well to where it is they're going to sell it. And when I say the cost to royalty interest, which is you. Also, the post-production expenses, compression expenses, site maintenance expenses, and on and on and on. There's many more than you realize. Pooling, meaning the number of acres and the number of property owners in a production unit. The mortgage insurance and property taxes, we discussed a great deal. And then there were other considerations that other neighborhoods have already gone through and included in their lease. Much of what I mentioned earlier, they have already included in their lease, but in addition to that, whereas no production or drilling activity, and they generally say within X number of feet. The reason for that is that, in my humble opinion, and in the opinion of almost everyone on this task force, the distance required by the city of Fort Worth is not enough. The community lease that we are introducing will be greater than 600 feet as well, which is what the city of Fort Worth requires if you don't have a high impact waiver from the property owners that are within the 600 feet. Noise restrictions was extremely important to everyone. And so those are handled in the lease and probably be negotiated. Restriction on truck traffic through the neighborhood. That's going to be a very difficult one, but probably not as difficult as you might think if we get the distance requirements in our lease that we need. No eminent domain use. That's a very important question because once a well is drilled, they have the right of eminent domain to put a pipeline just about anywhere they want, unless, of course, it is restricted in the lease. And our lease will also restrict the use of eminent domain. Well, actually, it will eliminate it, it's not restricted. And finally, city ordinances can change, so it has to be in the lease, and that's exactly what we're talking about, is that if it's not in the lease, then they don't have to abide by it. So, cover that more later. And finally, as we're getting toward the end, what are you signing? Really, many of the current leases have leases, from the drillers, or what they call the driller ABA lease, has language in there that makes you responsible for proving that you have your mineral estate. Our lease does not do that. If you do not clearly own the interest, this means you are responsible to defend the interest if that's in your lease. And sadly, very sadly, many, many people have signed a lease with that in it. And so if for some reason the mineral lease is tied up, then you are responsible for that. Most of the deeds in Fort Worth have the minerals. Many don't because some of the very old property owners in East Fort Worth that sold the property, the acreage for development, they either retained their interest or didn't retain the interest or retained part of it. For instance, in the Ryanwood area, I understand that the Ryan family retained half of the minerals. And so the homeowners over there own half, and then whoever the Ryan family is, own the other half. Now, I don't have that in writing. That's what I was told by the people over there. And according to our legal experts, if you have to prove your ownership of your mineral rights, the legal fees can get fairly expensive. And other language that's out there that we had to be concerned about was the warranty. And our lease states specifically that the leaseholder makes no warranty of title to the lease premises whatsoever. The producer or the driller is on their own. You know, if they pay you a signing bonus and you don't own your minerals, it's their problem. And we had, as I mentioned earlier, some very good legal advice on these issues. What is the current status? Where we are? Chesapeake, without question, is the big dog in East Fort Worth. They have the way they got there was that 4/7 started leasing up around the Trinity River, and White Lake is. And before they could drill, Chesapeake came to town and they purchased the leases and the drill sites from 4/7. So that made them the largest in the area. However, they do not appear, or nor anyone appears to be making a great deal of progress in leasing. And let me say right up front that we have absolutely no way of knowing how many leases Paloma has, how many leases Chesapeake has, or Bay, whatever. We just know that they don't have enough. And the reason we don't know is because they don't have to tell anybody until they file those leases. They can hang on to them until they file them. All of them are using aggressive tactics going door to door. We don't expect that to stop. They're doing group presentation and legal threats, and one of the biggest is if you don't sign and your neighbor does, and you try to keep your neighbor from getting their minerals, they're going to sue you. All of our legal experts say there's no legal grounds for that. So. And we are working very diligently, even as this meeting goes on, to reach all of the right people. We're not the neighborhood presidents. We're not attorneys. We're not oil and gas people. But we do know how to reach out and try to get people to help us, and that's exactly what we're doing. Drill sites. There are a number of current drill sites. I am informed, as of today, that no application has been filed for a drill site south of Interstate 30. There are some possible sites, but I'm saying that no one has filed for an application so far. These are some of the existing sites that we know about, and if you've driven, you've seen them. Behind Channel 11, you've seen the rigs up on the hill. And then, of course, the largest operation in Chesapeake has is down off of Random Mill. He's first week, which used to be the old ARC baseball area. Possible drill sites that we have learned about and are working on: New Beginnings Church on Lake 20, which is between 30 and Meadowbrook, right on 820, and another land next to National Farm Life, which is, in my opinion, an absolute shame, but it's the right to do it. We have concern about the Fort Worth Independence property on Meadowbrook, which would be some people refer to it as the old McClung property. It's that large vacant area between Oak Hill Road and Wyland. If you're not familiar with the neighborhood, that's not a name. And then broadcast the old vacant land on Brentwood Stair Road and Interstate 30 just east of Beach Street. And we're told that they're working on us as we speak. Important lease elements that we brought to the table: no drilling or production related operations closer than 800 feet from protected uses. Protected uses are defined by the city of Fort Worth as schools, churches, homes, apartments, anywhere people live and play, not necessarily work, be close to that work. And when you take a look at our lease, you will notice this is any drilling and production related activity cannot be anywhere closer than 800 feet. The city of Fort Worth defines the distance from the well bore. And so if you're looking at a 4 or 5 acre high impact well, you can literally have caliche and oil field related equipment and services pad you're about to hit. And so we decided if the pad is 6 acres, then you're going to have to be 800 feet away from the 6 acre pad. In addition to that, I forgot to put it in this list. Any storage tanks and water separators, like the large green tanks that you saw there, we will have language in our lease that says that any of that usage has to be on the furthest point away from the nearest residential property. So not only can they not be within 800 feet, those kinds of uses are going to have to be the furthest distance away from any on the bill side. Primary term of 1 year is what we are beginning with. No surface use, I've already mentioned that, of any kind. Indemnity for the property owners, if an accident happens at the well site, then the property owners are protected. And I have actually seen a lease where the property owners indemnified the driller. And yes, somebody signed it. Additionally, environmental liability rests with the driller producer. We thought that was fairly important. We didn't think of that. Ryan Place and Berkeley did. Reduced noise requirements, I've already covered that. No compressors within 1,000 feet of protected uses, because they're going to run 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for 30 years. Subordination costs from your mortgage company will be paid by the producer. So we just needed to put that in there because some mortgage companies are requiring some pretty hefty fees so that you can collect your royalties instead of paying it to your mortgage company. Either way, I will admit that your mortgage, you would benefit even if the mortgage company said, no, I'm sorry, you can't get your royalties, I don't want them applied to the mortgage. That would still benefit you, it's just you wouldn't get a monthly check, or as it turns out, a yearly check. Other financial matters, go through this real quick. Financial considerations, Mr. Bonus. We consider that, and if you read the Star Telegram, that number changed, and it's changing almost on a weekly basis, sometimes daily basis. When I first started working with gas, oil and gas leases, with my property in Woodhaven, we were being offered $650 an acre, minimum $250 per lease. And now, slightly over a year later, we are at the larger numbers that you see up there. So to say that this group is working with a moving target would be the understatement of the year. So just financially, it is such a moving target. We considered the royalty, of course. That seems to be a little less flexible, although it seems to be going up a little bit. We went from 20% to 22% in Woodhaven, to 25% as almost a norm all over town, to 27% on Meacham property, and now 30% in some parts of Arlington, and that's West Arlington, East Fort Worth. Severance taxes, those are taxes charged by the state. Everybody pays it. They run 2.5% to 7%. We're also considered ad valorem taxes, which is not the same taxes that you pay on your house and your surface lot. These will be assessed to the mineral value of the gas left in the ground. Not the gas coming out, the gas left in the ground has a value, and they're going to tax you for it. And it runs about 2.5% of the revenue. There's a real complex formula that they go through, and I haven't asked my friend Sarah to teach me that formula yet. So, the federal income tax, you're going to have to pay taxes. Taxes, taxes. On the income producer. Several factors go into the amount of royalty that you can expect to receive. Some of those factors include recoverable gas and the production profile. That means how much the well is putting out. Also, recoverable expenses to the royalty interest, which we've eliminated in our lease. We have language so that the royalty interest, which is your interest, the property owner's interest, pays no expenses of any kind. The amount of acreage included in a production unit, and remember we're at 3,200 acres. Also, the natural gas prices at the time of sale, gas quality. Each well doesn't have the same quality of gas, meaning BTU qualities, burning qualities, and the amount of taxes, the taxes, taxes, taxes. And then where is the money when we're chasing it? The estimate of the royalty for royalty interest only, the best that we can determine is plus or minus $35 per month before taxes. Over the next 25 years, that would equate to about $10,000, $12,000, if you want to ballpark it. Nobody can give an exact number anyway. We will begin negotiations on our lease with $30,000 signing bonus. It's already in the lease, in our draft version of it, with a minimum of $6,000 per lease, regardless of what size your lot is, that is per lease interest. We're also going into 30% royalty interest with a minimum of $75 per month, regardless of what the well produces. And all of the other things that I just mentioned about our particular gas lease. I just showed you this slide simply because we are also trying to go the distance. This is the story that came out of the Star Telegram that talked about them going back and building new laterals in between the existing ones that they had. The point of this slide also is to let you know that nothing is impossible. The technology is changing literally on a daily basis. They are considering things that they're not even talking about yet. So getting tied up in the technology about whether they can get your gas or not get your gas is a waste of time. They're going to get it, and they're going to find a way, even if it's 5 miles away, the well that is. Just as a summary, this is what you're going to get per month. In our humble opinion, the real money, the money that will benefit you most, is the signing bonus. And we need to get as much of that up front as we possibly can. And we honestly, if we felt like we could have gone in at $50,000, we would have. And we, who knows, we may still. The state of Texas, mineral rights take precedence over surface rights. The reason I put this slide in here is because time and time again, we're being told they're going to come and get it anyway. And this part is true. If I own the minerals under your house and you didn't, my rights take precedent over yours. However, it needs to be understood that if I own my mineral rights and you own yours, mine do not supersede your mineral rights. I have just as much right to keep my gas as you do to sell yours. Restrictions, again, need to be in the lease. City ordinances are not enough. State law isn't enough. And like we like to say in Fort Worth all the time, an ordinance can change any given Tuesday. So if anytime the council changes or they wake up in a new world, then they can change an ordinance. So if we put it in the lease, it's there. It's not going to go away. It's a legal document, and it will be there for forever as long as the well is producing. Another question that we get, what happens if I don't own my mineral rights? Well, sadly, you can't participate. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be left out of the picture. There is, or maybe, and this is not legal advice, if you have a homeowner's title policy on your property, then you need, and you don't own your mineral rights, then you need to have your family attorney take a look at your title policy. You may, in fact, have a claim under your title policy for your members. If they guarantee your title is not clouded, you may very well be able to collect. What if I do not sign a lease? Texas is not a forced pooling state. It does get a bit more complex than that, but they cannot force you. The point is, they cannot force you to sign a lease and sell your minerals if that isn't what you want to do. The second paragraph here is there's some regulatory law that says that in the secondary production stage of an oil field or a gas field, they can force you into a pool. All of the Barnett Shale is in primary production, and it's going to be years before it moves into a secondary production. So I'm not sure that's anything that needs to be considered, but if people think we should put that in the lease, we'll put it in the lease and make sure that they can't do that. At any time, they can make a request to the Railroad Commission about being able to drill, even though you don't want them to. In order to do that, they have to have a public hearing. You are notified, and you get the opportunity to argue against it if that's what you want to do. If the Railroad Commission grants them the permission to drill, even though you don't want them to, then they must include you in the lease. Gets a little more legal than that, so talk to your attorney if this is something you want to do on that. Where can you get a copy of the lease? I'm very sorry to say that we don't have a lot of money. We're just little independent neighborhood associations, and so printing costs are extremely expensive, and we made the decision not to provide copies of this lease for everyone, particularly when, starting next week, we're going to begin negotiations with whatever producer would like to come and talk to us about our 3,500 acres. But we will have a copy available for you. Each neighborhood association's website will have a file where you can download the lease and view it if you like. You will not be able to modify it. You will only be able to open it and read it and print it. Now, you can take it and retype it if you want to. There's nothing proprietary about it. But we don't want people taking a lease that says the Greater Meadowbrook lease on it and changing it and saying, this is our lease. But we'll make those changes. It'll be available there. You can go to Quick Copy on Hanley. And Don said this. I put the wrong price up there. It's a 30% reduction. He said $1 for the lease. So, now Wanda had a stroke. And then we'll send an electronic copy to anybody that sends me an email and wants a copy of the lease. I'll send it to them. I don't have a problem when I'll send it to you in Word format, or I'll send it to you in PDF. The easiest is PDF. It's more compact. So we'll get it to you any way we can. What happens next? We will send copies of the lease. I've mentioned it a couple of times to we're going to send them to everybody. We're not going to call them and ask them. We're going to, this coming Saturday, we're having another meeting, and then next week we will try to have our introductory letter and copies of the final draft, and we will go ahead and mail them to all of the people that are active in the Barnett Shale, and particularly the ones that are active in East Fort Worth. We will require, as a part of that, a specific time frame that we will be willing to wait for you to get back to us. I didn't put the time frame in there because we did discuss about a certain date, but I wasn't sure that we settled on a date. If one of the other presidents remember that date, then they can approach that when it's their turn. And then we will hopefully have lease signing parties, meetings. When next time we rent this, perhaps, or the next time we're here, it'll be to sign leases or not sign them, whatever it is you want to do. I would like to thank the task force. This is the end of the presentation. For their participation, and how many members of the task force are here tonight? I know Rocky was here. If you would stand up, there were many more involved. And I want to thank you guys for everything that you did. Thank you. It's been a great deal of time. And finally, I would also like to say that the city of Fort Worth is starting their gas drilling committee again to study some of the very issues that we're having to put in our lease. such as distance and the use of our roads, and who's going to pay for them when they're torn up, because they're going to be torn up. Just take a look at East First Street. So I would simply urge you to contact your council representative and tell them, please, get this committee going sooner rather than later, because we are really being backed up against the wall with this, and we need some help with all of this, to having to do it all individually. And now, they've been going through the questions up here that you submitted. If possible, I'll try to answer them. As I said earlier before we started, if I can't answer them, perhaps one of the neighborhood presidents can. And if we still can't get you an answer, if you have provided us with your email and or your name and phone number, we will find a way to get an answer to your question. And so now, we'll get you the mic. Are you going to try that one?
We'll try this one. The first question is, what do you plan on doing for the people that have already signed? Nothing. If you do, there's nothing we can do. What percent of the people have already signed? Harvey, you want to tell them about the survey?
Like Lewis said, we don't have any way of knowing how many have already signed. We just know from our survey that approximately 50 to 55% of the people said they were willing to wait on this contract with us on there. You know, that's their bad luck that they've gone ahead and jumped in. Because waiting is the only way that you gain anything out of this deal. We felt that it was better for us to work at it and get the best possible thing that we could instead of having it shoved down our throats in there. To educate you as to what to look forward to over this next 30 years from this process.
The question about insurance rates. I have talked to several insurance agents that have told me that they have seen no discernible change in insurance rates so far. Obviously, we don't know what the future holds, but our property insurance rates have not changed. Along with that, there's always questions about property values and taxable values. So, big unknowns. We're all new to the game. We don't know what will happen to our property values or period of time.
Let me just comment on that. I'll never forget. I went to a meeting, and Gary Hogan got up and spoke, and he said, "How many? I want to see that. How many people would buy a house within 200 feet?" Gas flow, and no one raised their hand. And the most poignant question after that was, what makes you think you could sell your house if you allow it? This community lease won't allow it. So, and I for one, I can never speak for the other members, but I for one have no intentions of backing up on the distance requirements. That's extremely important to me. And so we need to keep them away from the residents. And our values won't go.
What about the easement that goes across your land? Surface rights are not included in this lease. If for any reason anybody wants your property for pipeline easement or any other surface use, that is a separate issue and needs to be negotiated by you, hopefully with help, independent of mineral lease. What is the minimum sign up per acre? Obviously, we've gone over that, but it'll be as much as we could possibly get, I promise you.
Okay, we've got three of them related to water on there, asking about the shortages and where the water comes from. You need to contact the Tarrant Water Board. They're selling river water, the city sells them water. It takes millions of gallons of water to do this. They can recycle it, but they say it costs them too much to do it. A lot of it goes in a holding tank and they take it off and they put it in a pit somewhere until it evaporates off and then they reuse it. The pit again, when they get water for it, it's fresh water that they're using. So it is depleting. Question about injection wells. To my knowledge, as far as I know, we only have one right now. There's no way of knowing how many more there will be. That is a question that the task force for the city is supposed to address. That was one of the big issues that they were concerned with. Question? I wanted to know if there were any drilling sites in Central Meadowbrook that are assigned. There, as Lewis stated, there are no permits. 9:30 from 8:20 back west, except for the one that's there at the old Trinity, or Twin Driveway. There is a possibility of one at Ayers in Lancaster where TWU has their soccer fields, but that's a big question right now. I was told on the way up here that Chesapeake is under contract for the 16 acres on Brentwood Stair at the 4900 block there. So they're working diligently to purchase that whole tract of land instead of just a hillside.
Lewis, you might want to help an explanation here. Where does the $30,000 signing bonus go? Explain it. That's per acre.
And so whatever percentage, and we also have the minimum of $6,000. So if you own a townhouse, then it's a, you know, it's a $6,000 signing bonus. $30,000 per acre. If you had a quarter acre lot, it's $7,500 signing bonus. And that is, without question, the largest signing bonus thus far. You know, and it's very scary to try to settle on a signing bonus when they keep going up the way they're going. I mean, you really feel like saying, call me next month, let's just see where it is next month.
We have several questions about the shut-in situation. Shut-in is basically where the production company stops production on a well. You get no royalties if they stop production. That's why we are insisting on minimum per month payment to alleviate that situation.
Okay, I got one. I got, if I don't sign a lease, will I still grow the property? Now, they won't be drilling on your property, but with the new techniques for fracturing, they have no control of where that rock breaks up, where the gas comes from. So theoretically, you could lose your gas even though you haven't signed on it, because they have no control over how it breaks up and how it comes out.
Theoretically, that's too true. Realistically, the Barnett Shale is very unforgiving. It doesn't give up its natural gas very easily. And if you, again, read what's being written about the Barnett Shale, even with the successful wells right now, they're only getting about 18 to 20% of the natural gas that's there. And now that will change as fracturing technology changes and as they drill more lateral lines in between the ones that they're drilling now, then that's entirely possible. But to say simply, like a pool of oil, most people, that's where the word pooling comes from. Gas in the Barnett Shale doesn't act that way. It's in microscope. If you've ever seen a core sample of the Barnett Shale, you would look at it and go, where's the gas? Well, it's microscopic, and under extremely high pressure. And when they fracture the rock, it allows the gas to expand and then start flowing. So the 330-foot rule is the rule that keeps that from happening. And the fracture lines can't be within 330 feet of your property.
Question about property area and how is it figured. In addition to your actual plat of your property, it's very possible that you might have additional easement either behind or to the street, middle of the street, depending upon the street where you live. So you might have additional acreage for royalty payment and for bonus payment. It depends on your plat and where your house is actually located. Question about what is the environmental impact. Obviously, it's not going to be positive, but many things that are in the area are not positive. Yeah, we're trying to minimize the environmental impact on our trees. Living in West Meadowbrook, the beautiful pecan trees, we have to preserve those. I can't imagine Oakland, Martell Street, without our beautiful trees. Yeah, that's something that, again, the City Task Force will be addressing. Is it correct that only Chesapeake is drilling? Well, Chesapeake is the big dog they have the most invested, they have the most wells. There are a number of different companies actually drilling. Or Paloma is buying. Paloma, Holland are leasing a lot of property. I don't know if they've actually begun production yet, but I think their intention is to drill.
You have to go down to the courthouse and check out the paperwork there on your title deed and search that. It will tell you on it. It was taken for granted to the cities that that was not ever going to be an issue. And it's kind of a standing thing that if it doesn't mention it in your paperwork, you generally have it. It's taken for granted on it. But to be for sure, you have to go down and search the title and the deeds at the courthouse or have a title company do that for you.
I have a question about how are we getting paid if the pipe has already been put in the ground basically? Well, the bonus is for the right to get new minerals, and then obviously the royalty payment will be based on how much they're getting out of the ground. So there's two separate things. If the lease changes, and obviously this is going to be a negotiation, you be notified of those changes, most definitely. We will do our utmost to try to keep everyone informed.
That's the main reason that we really need to have your email address if you have it. That's the quickest and simplest way for us to get in contact with you, is through the email.
How can we find out the size of our lot? Your deed should have that. Again, in addition, there might be additional property to the street or easements or alleys that you might be able to correct.
Does anybody understand the street part of it? I mean, if you live on Aspen Lane, it's not a lot of square footage, but if you live on the Meadowbrook, it's a lot more. Or if you're on property on easement. No one is getting paid for the street property, not the city of Fort Worth, not the county. And I naturally you would think that the city would, well, whatever the square footage of those streets are in our neighborhood, that they would get paid for that. Well, no. Our lease is going to stay that you get paid to the center line of the street, which in some cases can add a bunch of square footage on the royalty. It's not going to add anything on the signing bonus, but on the royalty interest.
The neighborhood links are are on the back of the question cards. The three websites for West Medford Neighborhood Association, Central Medford Neighborhood Association, and Eastern Hills Homeowners Association. All three of those will have the lease posted on them tomorrow. Midweek. Okay. Give us a little time to get it all put together and get it out there. Okay, if there's a drain behind your home that belongs to the city, basically, will that become yours? If it's an easement, it's possible. Some property is city owned, some property the city will give you the rights to those easements. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. There's so many questions that we have tried to answer, and we still have a lot of negotiating to do. Negotiates between the homeowner and the mortgage company. Actually, you do your mortgagee. You have to negotiate with your mortgage company, but any expenses on this should be reimbursed by the real estate company, and that's in our lease. Who oversees the drillers for their gas production reporting? The Texas Railroad Commission is responsible for that. And if you have an opportunity, please visit the Texas Railroad Commission website. It is extremely thorough. They do a good job on reporting.
Brother Don, in addition, the lease also gives us a right to audit and request reports and records from the group.
But honesty, I don't know how to answer the honesty question.
I can't push your state representatives to license the landmen, and they won't be lying for some months.
Can you sign with more than one company? No, you only have one bidder already. I think that's pretty much, you can only sign one. Okay, what happens to the site after it stops producing? Well, they close it off and you don't get any more revenue. And your royalty stop. Good question. Is the cost of the flowbacks bills covered by the lease, by truck, by accident sites? One of the issues is the liability clause and that we put in there, the environmental, yes, which is somewhat unique to our proposed lease. Where we are actually holding the production companies responsible for things like flowback spills. How many people in the community agree to these operations? We think that approximately 15% of people will not sign. On our sampling survey, about 15% are not going to sign because, for whatever reason, they are philosophically opposed to urban drilling. It's anybody's guess how many people have signed. I don't think it's approaching 50% total, so they don't have the numbers that they need. They need to negotiate with us as a group. Are the city parks included in our community lease? At this time, no. The school district, we had double that number.
We tried to incorporate the, we have five schools that are in our area. We also have a golf course and several parks. And they all have to bid their own contracts. They will benefit greatly from what we do, but we can't get any help from them other than we're using their facility here tonight. So we did contact them and tried to get as many people involved as we could.
I want to thank each and every one of you listening to what we have worked so hard at. I think, in all fairness, that we have several months that are going to be very intense, and I think it'll be a good reward at the end. We are working very hard on all our behalf. Thank you so much for attending, and thank you. We are adjourned.